Well, let us pray. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I pray that Ruth can stay awake the entire study. See, that's a, we'll see if the Lord can answer that prayer. Lord, we ask to be taught by your Holy Spirit, and we thank you that you walk with us in every circumstance of life. You never leave us. In fact, you're much more than we know you are to be, and to find out that you're always there. We ask and pray tonight that you would quicken us to the understanding and hearing of the word and applying it into our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we left off in verse 25 of 1 Kings 12 with Jeroboam has become the king of the northern kingdom of Israel. 10 and 2, remember the tearing of the garment prophecy, and 10 of the tribes would be with Jeroboam. 2 would remain with the house of David. Jeroboam sets up his capital, as it were, in Shechem, in the mountains of Ephraim. Now, modern-day Nablus, near the place where Abraham was promised that this is the promised land, Ebal and Gerizim from Joshua's days, John chapter 4, woman at the well, Jesus going to Samaria, etc. That's the location. You'll notice that he built Shechem and establishes his kingdom. Now, how he could have established the kingdom versus how he did establish the kingdom kind of sounds a lot like Romans 7 living. Right? The good that I ought to do, I don't do it. And then those things that I don't want to be doing, I find myself doing those things. Now, I've learned over time that God is always right. Now, you can say that I know that, and his word is always true. So if you glance back with me, and probably the saving part out of all of this dividing of the kingdom was that it was by prophecy that God revealed that he was the one who was splitting up the kingdom between north and south. Now, let's just establish for us, there'll be many things that come into our lives, that happen into our lives, that is God's will working in things that we don't know about, that he may or may not reveal them to us, but our part is to trust in him. And by the word of God, right, by the word of God, believe him and trust him. Now, I did not coordinate in all the studies that I was doing tonight. I did not coordinate with the song leader tonight, the one who was playing the worship songs. That I'm over here worshiping and noticed the focus during worship on the Word of God. And like that's what I've studied today. Glance back with me at chapter 12, verse 22. The Word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God. Okay? And I'm going to establish this for us. The Word of God came to us by... all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We hold the word of God. We study it. We read it. And you know, you take a turn into the new year, and I'm going to set for myself once again, I'm going to read through the Bible at least 2 times in 2026, devotionally. Not for me, it's not a checklist. It's not a Bible reading schedule. I'm not opposed to that. Every time I've ever tried that, I either get behind miserably and then just read to catch up and don't listen, or I forget all about it and just slip back to what I do anyway, which is to read devotionally. And you'll notice that the word of God came and he was told to go speak to Rehoboam, and this came and it's by gift of prophecy. So a couple of things need to be working tonight. We're going to learn from them in 1 Kings 12 and 13 how it is that the word of God, gift of the Spirit, mainly prophecy, how every prophecy is to be tested to see if it's true. And then likewise, when it is true and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you in the Word of God, that when you have received gift of prophecy from another, it's the Word of God. And you can hold to, this is what God has commanded me to do. And I think that's a great spot to introduce this, because one of the best things that happened at the end of this is that Rehoboam listens to this when he says, "Thus says the Lord." So when you see in 22, the word of God came. So Shemaiah is hearing what God wants him to say. Listen up closely. Why read your Bible and pray? Well, so you can hear from God. This is the word of God. And that it's inspired by God, and it's profitable for absolutely everything that you need. Now, the way that my pastor, Pastor Chick, in Calvary Chapel, St. Paul, says this, he says, the word of God either has all the answers for life and godliness, or it has none of them. And that's going to prove to be true for this man named Jeroboam. We find that Rehoboam and the children of Judah, the southern kingdom, obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. And this is my heart's desire for us. Each and every one of our lives, we could say it together, but there's a ministry point here today for each one of us personally concerning the word of God. Jeroboam said in his heart in verse 26. Now, I'll just offer the piece of caution right there. Okay? Jeremiah 17:10, the heart is what? Desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, who can know it? I remember that early discipleship ministry verse from my brother, and he says, and look at this part, who could know it? I couldn't believe what I was doing, just operating in what I thought to do, only to find out that I had actually walked into something that revealed my heart was really deceitful. And I didn't even know it. And he says, and look at that last part, who can know it? And so what's it really establishing for us? Well, I am not the authority on my heart. Right? It is God who searches my heart and gives answer to what's really in there. We find out with Jeroboam, he said in his heart. Now, remember David, when David said in his heart, if I don't get away from Saul, Saul's going to kill me one day. And where do we find David? We find David resorting to the enemy. Now, if you look closely at this, Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Now, we have no idea if he knows anything about the word of God that came to Rehoboam that has actually kept war away from him. And now, in his heart, okay, he speaks to himself. But I remind you, it's not without him already knowing. Now, at some point when you read the Bible, you pray, and then you share the word of God with one another, and then you begin to study the word of God, and then you begin to practice the word of God, because James says, he who, you know, knows the word and doesn't do it, how can that be? James says, it's like a man looking at his appearance in the mirror, his natural face in the mirror, walks away and says, who was that guy? It's the way he describes it. And so these words that get in, and this is my reminder to you, we're going to learn from Jeroboam. We're going to learn from, we're going to learn from the young prophet and the old prophet as we get into chapter 13 tonight concerning the word of God and the Holy Spirit. He said in his heart, now, what happens when I commune with my heart by myself? I get into trouble. I get afraid. Now, we don't like to talk about this very much and admit it very much, but yeah, that's what happens. So right here in this section, verse 27, somewhere in your margin, you got a nice big wide open space there in your Thompson Chain Bible, and just write the word fear. How do I know he's afraid? Well, in that whole statement, he says, they will leave me, they will kill me. When you just been made king of the castle, if you will, whatever that is, or when you recognize that God has placed you somewhere, what's the worst thing you can do? Believe in your heart that you deserve to be there. Bottom line, how many pastors have been taken out by this thought and idea like, oh, I can't, there's, you know, 2,000 people coming to church. Wow. I must really be something. Okay? Now, when I look at this and I offer up this understanding, glance back with me at 1 Kings 11:38. It's right at the bottom of the page, back page over if you're in your Thompson chain. This is a word of the Lord to Jeroboam a long, long time ago. How do you handle with the word of God a long, long time ago to you? So what's a long, long time ago? Well, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So the things that God gave you a long time ago, do you hold to them and walk with them and keep them? Or is it you just go right on to the next one and just, you know, count to that, well, this must be obedience because this is what I want to do now. I've watched way too many people actually operate simply under, right? It's what I want to do. When we look at this, here's the word of the Lord to Jeroboam. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you. You hear that phrase? I will be with you and build for you an enduring house. Now, Jeroboam said in his heart, the kingdom may return to the house of David. Now, at some point, this is your decision. God's word says this to me, and I will never leave it or forsake it. What's the testimony book of Revelation written to the saints who, what? Hold to Jesus, right? Have the word of his testimony, and they keep this prophecy, and that's the way John describes when he writes the letter. That's the church. We believe in the promise of our Lord that he will return. Now, this second coming of Jesus Christ. I had someone at the gym want to talk about our current, you know, president in the United States and how horrible he is. And I said, well, if it's not him, it's going to be the next one. You don't like this one. Well, who would you vote for? I said, but I want you to know something. I said, do you believe Jesus is coming back? He says, not in my lifetime. He's an older dude, right? Now, when I just say that, I said, well, that's not, doesn't really agree with what's going on in the world. He said, it's probably more sure that he's going to come back real soon. Just got to talk to him about the second coming of Christ. Turns out he didn't come and find me and talk to me, with me today. But maybe in the next couple of days, he'll come back and see me again. And this word of God. How long has it been since you understood and heard the rapture and believed the rapture that Christ could come at any moment and snatch his church away? And I know that for many now in churchianity, that's being attacked, deceivingly lied about, and now Christians are saying in their heart, well, maybe that rapture thing really wasn't the right way that it was taught. And I'm just here to offer up to you that promise and prophecy and proper exegesis of Scripture leaves you with the imminency of Christ coming for you. And when I hold this, and I'm going to phrase this out in this way, and this is the Word of God. And let's learn from the same instructions that Jeroboam was given. Now, fear takes him away from the Word of God. Fear will take you away from the Word of God if you become afraid of. So here's the four instructions. Very basic from 1 Kings 11:38. Heed the commandments. What is heed? Make the commandments of God first in your life. How did John describe the commandments of Jesus? He described them, if you're King Jameser, right? If you read the King Jimmy, is that they're not grievous. They are not, again, New King James, not burdensome. In fact, it makes a whole lot more sense to yoke yourself together with Jesus and take heed to his commandments, and they're not grievous. Commandments like love one another as I have loved you. If you made that your concentration, man, that love might actually, it does work. Perfect love casts out fear. And you're going to find that if you hold to the love of God and take heed to the commands, second one is walk in God's ways. So straight up, word of God. Jeroboam had it. Maybe you received the word of God. Maybe you understood, okay, this is how Christ wants me to live. This is how my Lord Jesus wants me to live. Because I call him Lord, and I don't ever want to like show up and have a knock on the door and I say knock knock, and he says who's there. I want him to know who's there. See, why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do the things that I say? And then that other side to that understanding of saying he's Lord and then not doing what he says. He says, depart from me, you evil workers. Right? I never knew you. Did we not prophesy in your name? And before I get going too slowly, we got to pick this up a little bit. So I like that he's like this. Heed the commands. Make them first in your life. When you hear the word heed, that's a word to describe put that first. Right? Therefore, who thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall. So what is that? You make it first to humble yourself and give the correct understanding of your standing, and you guard and protect lest you fall. So you make that first. Take heed how you hear the word. Take heed what you hear. You make that okay first. Anyway, walk in God's ways. I love Ephesians 4:17. Do not walk like the rest of the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having their foolish heart darkened. Don't live like the unbelievers live. See, to walk in his ways, Matthew 5:6-7, pick up the ways of Christ. These are his ways. Blessed are you when you are persecuted. I'm going to walk in the ways of Christ. Blessed are you. Well, blessed are you, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There's no blessing in worrying where things are coming for you next year in regards to food, clothing, and shelter. Heading into the new year, worrying about who the next president's going to be or where the next war is going to come from. Or, more than likely, where's the next shooting going to be? Now, I'm encouraging you to stand in all boldness and righteousness with God. To do this and to walk in God's ways. Well, what are God's ways? And deny yourself, take up your cross, follow Jesus. I could go on and on in the ways of God. It's a way of righteousness. It's a way of truth. It's a way of wisdom. Walk in love, walk in wisdom, walk circumspectly. And I could give you, 10 portions of scripture to help you in walking in God's ways. How about this one? Love and forgiveness and mercy and compassion. How about truth? And now I should have all of you, I probably covered now all of your things that God has said to you in the last 10 years. Now, not the detail, but heed his commands, heed the commandments, walk in God's ways, do right in God's sight. Do right in God's sight. And then number 4, keep the commands. Now, it's one thing to take heed unto them and make them first and start, but you know what that keep means? That I keep the same commands that I made first in the beginning. So we got letter to the church of Ephesus in Revelation where Jesus says to them, you're really good at spotting a false teacher. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You've left your first love. So if you make the commands first, and then so it leads with that, walk in his ways, do right in God's sight. That's righteousness if you just need a simple equation on that, and then keep his commands even to the end. Okay. Fear leads to disobedience. When you are afraid and take thought for yourself, what's going to happen to me? You will always disobey the commands of God. When you take thought for yourself, what did Jesus teach us? Right down to the personal parts of our lives, take no thought for your life. What you're going to wear? What are you going to eat? Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. He says, but put his kingdom and his righteousness first. Seek it. Now, I think first means first. So if you take heed tonight unto the command to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, does that mean first in your walk and relationship with God? Does that mean first part of the day? Does that mean first before any decisions are made? Yes. Now, I'm going to give Jeroboam a report card. And he fails. He gets the letter F. He fails. Verse 28, therefore the king asked advice and made two calves of gold and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. He sets one in Bethel, the other one he sets up in Dan. And when we tour way up north near Merom Golan, and we go to the Caesarea Philippi, and then we wander on, and we actually go to the location where they set up this altar where they worship the golden calves in northern Israel. Sad thing. What's his letter grade? He fails. He gets a letter F. I've never had one of those on a report card, but I sure failed in things in life. Have you not failed? See, it's a wise man who stumbles seven times and gets back up. You know. So what's genius status? Well, if wisdom is seven times, genius must be 70 times seven. How much do you need forgiveness? Now we come to this, and I put here in verse 28, the king asks for advice. Well, he certainly isn't asking or consulting the priests, because that's down in Jerusalem, and he's already in his mind saying what? We can't let the people go back down there. So where is he seeking his advice? He's not asking Shemaiah, who brought the word of God to Rehoboam. I don't even know if he knows about that. He's not asking him, what is God saying about this? Now, likewise, we're in a time frame where there is a famine for the hearing of the word of God, and yet there's more Bibles in print and accessible and digital and downloadable and apps. And the word of God is so plentiful, yet people are starving, right, for hearing and understanding of God's word. But man, is there a hunger for advice. Yeah. It would be great to know if you could categorize the stats. And I'm sure somebody could look it up, and now somebody probably will. But the questions that people are asking every day to the internet, asking advice from the internet. I know why AI exists, because mankind wants answers for something that they think is beyond them. Huh, maybe that'll help. That's Jeroboam. So right here, fear leads to his disobedience, and in place of obedience to God, we will always substitute some other advice from the world. It never fails. Problems in your marriage, where should you turn? Problems within in your heart, anxiety, fear, where should you turn? You'll get advice wherever you turn. Now, interesting twist on this with Jeroboam is 11:38 was given to him, the word of God, and all the commandments before it was revealed to Solomon that he was an adversary. And he has spent the last 10 to 20 years in Egypt, where they worship the golden calves, where he probably learned how to lead. And where do you think he sought his advice from? Egypt in Scripture is always the type of the world. When I look at this, and then the second thing in there, so you've got the worldly advice, he's been in Egypt, and then this other phrase, it is too much for you. Now, the way I phrase that, easy religion. It's too much for you to go to church twice a week. It's too much for you to come back on Sunday night to go to Afterglow. It's too much for you to, whatever people might say, it's too much for you to say praise the Lord when you answer your phone. Turns out the Lutherans don't like that when I say praise the Lord. It's way too charismatic for them. Way too charismatic. And he set one up. Let's see. Oh, then it leads, verse 30. Now this thing became a sin for the people. went to worship before went as far as Dan. What's that mean? It was closer to go to Jerusalem. It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. And now I can spend all kinds of money and time to get even farther away from God. Led others to sin. So this is the part that if I could absolutely convince you that if you will not obey the word of God because of fear, you will lead the others in your life through your disobedience, you will lead them into sin. Satan loves to make you think that, oh, it's just going to affect you. He ends up making shrines in the high places. 31, he made priests from every class of people who were not the sons of Levi. Now, in Chronicles, it describes at this time when Jeroboam does that, the godly people get up and leave the northern kingdom and they go down to Judah because of this practice of making priests of every class of people. Jeroboam ordained a feast 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So, very quickly, he has established an entire false worship system. Fellowship with demons, if I may shine a light upon what fellowship does Christ have with Belial, what fellowship is there between light and darkness, What accord does Christ have with Belial? And then he's offering sacrifices. It has all the components. This easy religion has all the components of the true and yet denies the power of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We have many examples of this in our country. So he did this at Bethel, sacrificing the calves to the calves he had made. At Bethel, he installed the priests of the high priest, the high places which he had made. Verse 33, so he made offerings on the altar. Well, he made himself a priest. He made himself a priest. And he had made this altar at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, so he's there for his feasting and fellowship with the false. It says here in verse 33, he had devised in his own heart. How many people have you encountered and you want to talk with them about the Lord and they say, I'm going to come to God in my own way. I meet God out in nature on the golf course. I don't know if that's still said or not. That's probably an old example. I go to church online. No, you don't. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel, offered sacrifice on the altar and burned incense. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. I like this because the word of God came to Rehoboam and they turned back from war. Jeroboam establishes his whole false system and is not obeying what God said to him previously. And what do I like about this? God is faithful to send someone in your life when you are not willing to listen to him. Now, I was pretty good at avoiding this when I was backsliding for 10 years. If I knew someone was going to share something of the Lord and try to talk to me, I wouldn't even read their letters that they sent to me. If it was a birthday card, I would, you know, carefully get the money out of the card to be careful not to read the card. See, when Jeroboam is in disobedience, God is faithful to send the word of the Lord to him. So this man of God comes up. He's nameless. I like that. He cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, saying, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord. Behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places and burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. Thus defiling and desecrating this altar that is in Bethel, And get this. What do I like about this? Only God can do this. This is 290 years before Josiah will be born. Over 300 years until it gets fulfilled. And by name. Oh, we all like the one that Isaiah has, right? Cyrus, by name. You know, I always imagine that. Daniel opens up the scroll and shows him his name in this ancient scroll. Now, this is 1 Kings 23:15, if you need to cross-reference to when Josiah actually... Is it 2 Kings? 2 Kings 23:15, where Josiah actually goes there and does that some 300 years later. Now, this. Sin and disobedience of operating and worshiping false gods, establishing all that for Israel... There, and the word is, this altar is going to be desecrated. So he's pronouncing a curse upon all this. And he gave a sign the same day saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. I guess when you're prophesying 300 years in advance, right, God's going to say, well, I'm going to show you something today so that you can listen to this. This is the sign. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel. Can you imagine the scene? He's there worshiping his empty vanity and all of the things he made in his own heart, and he's giving it worship, whatever it is, and God intervenes. This man of God comes in and pronounces a curse against this altar, and so he stretches out his hand. Arrest him. Now, what is that? You know what this is? Okay. He stretched out his hand and arrested him. His hand withered so he could not pull it back to himself. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes poured out according to the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given him by the word of the Lord. Now, as we talk about the word of God tonight, this is 1 Thessalonians 2:13. The word of God had its entrance through the gospel into Thessalonica. Paul's letter back to them says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So should that word stop working once you read through the Bible once and you think you got it all down, or you read through it 20 times? Should that word of God cease to be sought for counsel? Or should the word of God be for you that it increases in that it is the word and that it works effectively, works in you who believe? And therefore, the church of Thessalonica then suffered at the hands of their countrymen because they believed God's word. Now, in the word of God, it is referenced and therefore to be sought in an effective working in our lives, that there are gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. We find this word of the Lord coming from this man, again, a man of God, and he brings gifts of the Spirit in operation and the power of God. All along, Jeroboam has established the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They have feasts, they have sacrifices, they have ceremonies, they have religious tradition that is being formed. Never mind if it actually is true, but I do mind. So in the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, we need to establish this because we are a church that practices the gifts of the Holy Spirit. because the Word of God works effectively in us who believe. That's straightforward. The Word of God, and then why do you call him Lord, Lord, and not do what he says? Because it's said in 1 Corinthians 12 that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I think that's what Jesus means when he says, those that said, we did this in your name and we did this. And he says, I never knew you. I'll guarantee you, he knows every one of his children in whom the Spirit of God dwells. And therefore, this declaration that Jesus is Lord, we just studied out of the letter to the Philippians, one day every knee will bow and declare that Jesus is Lord. And then you're catching this in the church, the Word of God effectively believing him, and it works in us, and describes there are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit, differences of ministries, but the same Lord, diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now, what kind of power do those golden calves have that they can't even protect their priest who tries to arrest a man by pointing at him? I always try to imagine what, like, does his hand just kind of shrivel up? Or more so, I think it probably, when it says it dried up, it basically, it could no longer move. Like, God just locked his arm, and then he cries out for prayer. But I want to get onto this thought here of gifts of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. 1 Corinthians 12:7, together with Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The gifts and power, the manifestation of the Spirit is the power of God. If you have received one of these gifts and then you therefore share that gift, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you think of this truth concerning the gifts, it's for the profit of all. To one is given word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles by the same Spirit, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. No doubt this word of the Lord together with prophecy, gifts of the Spirit at work with power. With power. Now it's described, it's given by the word of the Lord. So the sign, and again, the power of God right at work, the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God. Did you know we had a healing here on Sunday? There was a gal who was having tooth pain and infection. She was prayed for on Sunday morning. She went into the dentist the next day, and all the infection was gone. Took off the temporary crown, looked at it, gone. And all the pain was gone. Now, you've heard me describe a house of mercy, and as God forms that, and this phrase, when you come in and others come in with you, look up. God will help you. What am I describing? I'm describing the Word of God. And I'm describing gifts of the Spirit of God to be operated according to the Scriptures. When I find this in 1 Kings 13, the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God. Now, how long has Jeroboam been gone from the Word? A long time. How long has he been in the world? A long time. So much so that God's not even his God anymore. He says, then pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and to him and became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself. I will give you a reward. What fellowship does Christ have with Belial? Then the king said to the man, come, I accept you, you accept me. Do you know the pressure? Oh, every church is the same. Doesn't matter where you go. You ever hear things like that? Now, nor are we to say, well, you only come here. That's also not true by any stretch of the imagination. You know, praise God that anybody wants to partake of what ministry that God has given us here. I think it's a dynamic thing. And yet, I can't join together with Jeroboam. If I'm going to walk in obedience and righteousness and trusting in God and operating in the gifts of the Spirit and trusting and believing the Word of God and prayer, answered prayer, and am I going to join together with those who don't believe in the power of God? I won't have any fellowship. The man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place, for it was commanded me by the word of the Lord. And then I want you to circle there in verse 9. And now this is a young prophet, a young man operating in the gifts and calling of God, hearing God maybe on his first charge to go forth and speak to a king and delivering the word of God. It was commanded me by the word of the Lord. Now, are you gripped like that over the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gives you when you study the word of God, when you devotionally read, and when the Holy Spirit shows you how your marriages are to be? Are you gripped by how you are to bring up your children? Are you gripped by how you are to follow Christ? Are you gripped by carrying the cross? It was commanded me to deny myself. It was commanded me to lay down my life and love one another. See, this is the stance concerning the Word of God together with the gifts of the Spirit works like this. We're told that the gifts and operation, right, are to be done in a particular way according to Scripture. It was commanded us, right, to operate in the gifts and power of God according to the Scripture. So his command was not to eat bread, drink water, nor return by the same way he came. So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. And then here you can write over your life, so far, so good. I love how my pastor says this. He says, hey, are you pleased with your kids? So far. See, there's something inherent in us, isn't there? There's something inherent in all of us that we're prone to wander. Oh, Lord, I feel it. Do you know that hymn? And it's not something to, I remember when, and if all your stories are 30 years ago, if all your Holy Ghost stories are 10 years old, how about fresh Holy Ghost stories that happened this week? Now, I think you catch where this goes. An old prophet, verse 11, dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. That's, Dad, you should have seen what happened today. This guy came up. You know, boys, what were you doing there? Anyway, it was the show, right? They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to him, which way did he go? His son had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him. He rode on it, and he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Now, just a couple Holy Spirit questions to apply this. Are you a godly man? Are you a godly woman? I don't know if any of us could take on the moniker man of God or woman of God. I don't know if we get to choose that. But you can certainly do what? You can certainly live godly. And it'll probably come from backslidden Christians in your workplace or another. And just, are you the man of God who came from Judah? Now, I'm going to give you another Holy Spirit question here. Do you have gifts and power of the Holy Spirit? See, why did Paul have to tell Timothy to stir up the gifts again? What happens with the gifts? The tendency always is to no longer operate in them or not to rely upon them. What happens with prayer? Well, the tendency is to no longer pray first for the things. And then another tendency is no longer to expect an answer with power. So as I look at this today, and I ask those two questions of us, well, you, I had to answer them earlier. Now you get to answer them. Are you a godly man? Do you pray? Right? Do you have gifts and power of the Holy Spirit? He said, I am. Now that's in italics. That's me, right? Yes. Does your church speak in tongues? I mean, people come up with the craziest questions. What do you mean? You know, I know some people speak French, some people speak some Spanish. I mean, what are you talking about? Now, I know what they mean, but I make them tell me what they mean because everybody's coming with their judgment. But if you believe the Word of God and you operate in power, what's that answer? Those that have that gift, use that gift, and we make certain to operate in them according to what 1 Corinthians 14 says. Now, just for example, but we're going to talk about prophecy. Then he said to him, come home and eat with me and eat bread. Verse 16, he said, I cannot return with you nor go with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. Now, my first question is, how did the old prophet riding a donkey ever chase him down? Well, because he found him where? Found him at rest when he should have been actively obeying God. Here's your first one. If God has given you something to do, it's not the time to sit down. If God has given you something to do, it's time to do what he said. That's the first one. Should have never been able to catch him, but he did. Now, this gets interesting here. Come eat with me. I'm a prophet, you're a prophet. Let's have some fellowship. I've been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. Now this next one, okay, and this is very important for us. If you look at the gift of prophecy, that you're just waiting for someone to have a gift of prophecy so you know what to do, you will always, always never know what to do. I don't think I used a double negative in there. You will always never know what to do. Why? Because we're told that when one prophesies in church that the others are to stand by and judge. How can you judge a word of prophecy if it's true? Well, he's like, no, God has been talking to me about that. Yes, that's where I've been hearing from God in my devotions. I've been reading in the Bible, and this is what God has been talking to me, and that prophecy is right on track. Therefore, I'm going to go sit under the tree so I don't have to do it. No. Therefore, when God is telling another what he's been telling you, why would God do that way? Well, so that you will do what he says. That's the Holy Spirit. These are the instructions. God gave me this to do, but that's not the way verse 18 reads, is it? Now, we don't know the motive of the old prophet except that he tries to, conjecture, that he's really trying to find out if this was of God or this guy was really of God or not. So he heard that he wasn't supposed to come and eat bread, so what does he do? He tries to break it and see if it's real. Invites him back. But he invokes God. An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, but he's lying. And let's learn this one. What God has said to you and what you have received from God, the gift of prophecy will not contradict and counteract what God has told you. I had a a sister here in church years and years ago, and some of you know my wide and varied tent making history of, you know, sometimes five jobs at a time, various jobs. You know, I've done a lot of things in serving the Lord. And her word to me was, it wasn't quite a thus saith the Lord, but it was, you are supposed to go and drive bus at Park Christian. And without missing a beat, I look her right and I said, that's funny, because God hasn't been talking to me about that. Now, young ladies, I hope not a one of you is ever going to fall for the first man that comes along and says, God told me that you and I are to be married. That's funny. He hasn't told me that. You can say that to him. So what do we learn? Well, first and foremost, what God gave him first to keep and to follow is to be followed. And if God would ever change what he wants you to do, he would tell you the same way that you heard him in what you were doing. Now, if you pursue the gift of prophecy thinking that that's how you're going to find out what to do, you are going to be running back and forth. Now, in this case, the young prophet, he falls for it. He went back with him to the house and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now, I don't know if it was the age, the reputation, I don't know. I guess he's older than me. Maybe he hears God better than me. Strike that from your life. You have to hear God for yourself. The gifts of prophecy really are for the profiting of the body, would be to, if you think about it, something that God wants to say and bring everybody together in an exhortation, a comfort, or encouragement. Or when he gives you a prophecy and you know it's him, it'll match with everything he's already been saying to you. But to think that another would hear from God better than you hear from God for yourself, that's the first thing to learn. Now, there's another principle in here. Right? What God said to him first holds. The second thing that comes to another, and likewise he says, an angel spoke to me. Well, if this verse, I mean, Paul even says if an angel comes back and changes the gospel, tells the Galatian church, he says, let him be accursed. So we have two examples of this clearly in the world. You have Mormonism, which came from an angel's revelation through these spectacles and these, you know, gold engraved plates, which we have neither the spectacles or the gold plates, but somehow we have the interpretation of all of it. An angel spoke to me, and now we only understand the Bible through the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, and Doctrines and Confessions, and whatever the other one is. And so the Mormons follow a later revelation. An angel spoke to me. So do the Muslims. It's all recorded that the things that Muhammad received came from these visions or fits, or much like would be described what we would understand to be a spirit came upon him. And that's the history of this. An angel spoke to me. What have you learned? The later revelation has to agree with the earlier revelation. And so just think how beautiful what we call the Old Testament matches very wonderfully with the revelation. The New Testament and the Old Testament are like this. Now, the Book of Mormon and the Old Testament are like this, etc. Quran. How does the Quran match up with the scriptures? They're off. Right? It doesn't even. So you catch this and you learn that. Now, what happened is he sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. Now, this is gnarly, if I can use that word. The guy who lied to him, told him that God told him to bring him back, actually now hears from God. And here's the word of the Lord. He cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord God commanded you, but you came back and ate bread and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your corpse shall not come down to the tomb of your fathers. Yeah. So how's your approach to obeying God's word and receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the testing agreement of the word of God? If the prophecy doesn't agree with the word of God, is it from God? They are to be tested. Now, this word of God comes to him, and he's pronounced, because he disobeyed, that he's going to die. So it was, after he had eaten the bread, after he had drunk, he saddled his donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the corpse. Probably the funniest scene that anybody's going to come upon, and like, a donkey and a lion just sitting there, standing there by this dead body. Lion's not eating. Donkey's not running away. Strangest thing. So the news gets back to the old prophet. The men passed by, saw the corpse thrown on the road, lion standing by the corpse. They went and told it in the city. Saw the funniest thing today. And then the old prophet hears that. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, "It is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord." Yeah. So I asked you a question. Are you a godly man? Do you have gifts and power? Are you a godly woman? Do you have gifts and power? Do you pray? Do you trust God? I mean, all that whole line of thought, is the word of God as it is? Is it the word of God? Does it work effectively in you who believe? And then in the word of God, I found out all about how the Holy Spirit gives gifts and how these things God gives. And now you've got this phrase, who was disobedient to the word of God, disobedient to the word of the Lord. So what does that do for us? It establishes, I believe, a phrase that I've used with you that now I want to secure for you. Being Spirit-led in all ministry. The Holy Spirit is not going to give you a word and a commandment that contradicts the plan that has already been sought out by the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that? So as you learn to test, is that God's voice in my life? Is that the Holy Spirit or another person sharing something with you? Test it and discern. You are never, ever forced to do anything that anybody else ever says. You have to secure for yourself your obedience to the word of God. So you have to take those prophecies and test them. Do you know what I do with every prophecy? I take it back with me and I go into my devotions and I shut the door behind me and I pray and I seek God to see what he's talking to me about. Likewise, the gifts that have been shared here by words of knowledge, where you get insight into a learning of, like, say, a body part or a tool and all those things, none of that ever replaces the word of God. That's simply given to you for your understanding, so you can increase and be stirred up in the gifts that God has given you, and you can understand function and office. And if you become a slave to, like, well, this is what the body part does, and that's what you're missing the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit gives you these things, and that you can be Spirit-led. Now, there was a whole container worth of humanitarian, right, or what we would describe to be helps ministry supplies being sent, and the whole container, right, was rejected because the country in which the container was being shipped into, they found items in there that wasn't on the bill of lading. But some Christian believed that the Holy Spirit told them to add these things that were not on the list. Thus, the whole shipment was rejected because I'm just being Spirit-led in all ministry. Now, I'm sharpening us up tonight. Being Spirit-led, being Spirit-filled means that you're testing and it's agreeing with the Word and it's agreeing with one another and you're praying with one another and you're seeking God and it agrees with, right, what God has already said. And you have to be careful over someone like this old prophet, and then you get the statement there, who was disobedient to the word of God. Yes, we still can be what? Disobedient to what God says for us to do. Therefore, the Lord has delivered him to the lion, which torn and killed him, according to the word which God had spoken to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, saddle the donkey. They saddled it. They went and found his corpse thrown on the road, the donkey, the lion standing by the corpse. Strangest thing. The lion had not eaten the corpse nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man, laid it on the donkey, brought it back. The old prophet came to the city and to mourn and to bury him. He laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. So it was he had buried him that he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is. Lay my bones beside his bones. Now that old prophet has to deal with what for the rest of his life? Now, it's just a good side note, and or when you are going to speak and gifts of the Holy Spirit to one another, right, in the fear of God, don't lie to people. Don't lie to one another to make them feel good. And my thought is he's going to have to deal with what he did the entire rest of his days. Yeah. So he buries his bones and say, when I die, bury me with him. The saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places, which are the cities of Samaria. See this phrase? Will surely come to pass. Now, never want to be one of those old Christians who tells the younger Christians, well, back in my day, oh, that's nothing, or, oh, you're just finally getting on to that in the scriptures. Not on your life. I am very interested in all the things as you come to them that God shows you and teaches you in the Word, and that this continuance of the truth of God's Word by the Holy Spirit and operating in these things, that all of us would grow and then know how the Holy Spirit leads us in ministry. How the Holy Spirit leads and guides our lives. An important thought here tonight. Can you pick up once again that which the Holy Spirit gave you to do, and can you get going on it? It's an important thought. I like this because now he says it'll surely come to pass. See, and that's the approach sometimes. I know some young Christians who have been told by older Christians who, yep, that's not the gift of prophecy. When it is. And you're like, ouch. I'm here to stir up the gifts of God. Not to what? Quench the Holy Spirit. So very important that those gifts should be shared, and then others standing by get to do what? Get to judge. That is God. That's not God. You know, church planting out into Jamestown was wild this summer. And we went to the, what was the name of that place? Not important what it was called. But I had with me that day, I think it was three or four others. And this is the first time they're doing ministry, and it's church planting ministry with me, and probably only been here under 2 years. And we go, and this lady is, she's a mixture of whatever spirit and other spirits, and the books in her makeshift Christian library or whatever. And I'm like, well, we're going in today. We're going to find out what this is and how it goes. And it's just, you got to go in there. And this lady's a mixture. All kinds of stuff going on with her. But the Holy Spirit, and because I'm going to go in, I want to find out what's going on in Jamestown. And I said to all of the group that went with me, I says, I am confident that I can take you into this environment. After I took them in there, and I didn't say a word to them. Like, I didn't prepare them one bit. You know why I didn't prepare them? Because I wanted them to be shocked. I didn't know how it was all going to go out, but I wanted them to experience firsthand what we found, and then, what was that? Exactly. Okay? Now, do you believe these things will surely come to pass? The things that God has said to you, do you believe that they will surely come to pass? Now, in this whole case with the old prophet, and I mean, isn't this our faith? Our faith is these things that God has said to us, believing, trusting, and just take the return of our Lord. Take the rapture. You know, rapture is prophecy. It's like, the rapture of the church will surely come to pass. No prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Don't concern yourself as much with your own private interpretations of, I wonder what that really means. I don't know. I'll come up with a meaning. Concern yourself with the Scriptures and the revelation and the prophecies that are in there. And then those things you're hearing, will you keep them in alignment with the Word of God? Because I want to hear in agreement with the Word of God, because that's the first revelation in my life, was God's Word. And then holding to that, and I think I'm almost done, so we can finish up here. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way. Huh. Remember that day I reached my hand out and I couldn't pull it back and God miraculously healed it? God who? See, don't be surprised, even when you're sharing the gospel and God can do such a clear witness and there can even be a power of God, and yet men will what? Evil in the heart, they will still not turn. He did not turn from his evil way, made priests from every class of people for the high places. Again, probably had to rebuild the altar. I doubt he used duct tape. Prop it back up. I'm pretty sure he had to build it all. I mean, these things should click with you, right? The things that God destroys in your life, should you rebuild them? You know, just these things that are all in here. And the thing was sin to the house of Jeroboam. Now, here's his testimony throughout the rest of Kings and Chronicles. That the other kings of Israel followed in the sins of Jeroboam, who led the people of God into sin. You hear that? The sin. So it was to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the Word of God. And we thank you for the Spirit of God. And we ask and pray that we would hear you, that we would not listen to our own heart and think we've heard you based off of, but that we would hear you in the Word, and that your Spirit would stir us up unto obeying your Word, that not another could come in and derail us into disobedience, and that we wouldn't fall for disobedience, but Lord, that we would walk with you in all of your ways, making your commands first in our life and doing what's right in your sight. And I ask you to bless your people tonight with gifts and power of the Holy Spirit. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen.